I think it's in this context that one can understand why it is. And here again, just let me make that bold statement without qualifying it. In this context, one can understand why it is that the religion of many Americans is democracy. Why their real faith is the democratic faith, the religion of the public schools. And this again prepares one to understand the appeal and indeed the plausibility of Professor Williams' proposal that in order to meet the present crisis in government, governmental agencies must teach the democratic ideal as religion. This is essentially an appeal for a state church in America. Beg pardon?
Essentially, you say it already exists in the public school system. So why?
Well, I suppose he just simply wants to make explicit what he thinks is already implicit. Well, religious leaders and others as well all over the United States, I suppose, can well rise in indignation at this kind of a proposal. But I think that we ought soberly to recognize the historical roots of William's thinking. And maybe we ought to thank him for putting the position clearly and concisely at this time. I think, to conclude, that in the context of what I've been trying to say, what Professor Williams is saying is that Jefferson was really overly optimistic in supposing that the various kinds of religion were all good enough in respect to the public welfare. Jefferson was much too optimistic in thinking that after a few years of trial, the experiment had shown that freedom of religion is compatible with order in government and obedience to the laws. Well, in any case, I think that William's position is based upon a correct sensing of some of the implications of the acceptance of religious freedom, and one would hope, therefore, that his work would have the salutary effect of helping to force both political and ecclesiastical leaders to face these implications openly. Now, I don't know what you want to do with this.
Well, what's the present crisis that Williams is responding to? What do you ever define the crisis?
Yeah, I suppose that that Williams would, if I try to understand what Williams would say to this, that Williams would define the crisis in such a way that the American experiment really has not, it has really not panned out as was to be expected. And that with the threats from all over the world today, the future of democracy may be in crisis, so far as the nation is concerned. That's not very precise, but I think in general that's what he thinks.
Is it democracy's on the defensive?
Yeah, right.
What did, kind of a reversal in this so-called school bus decision, local school,
yeah, I would think that that's a fairly well decided issue now. I doubt that a bus case will ever get to the Supreme Court anymore. And the grounds upon which it has been decided is that this is not to provide buses for parochial school kids going to and from school, is not to aid or abet any particular religious group, but it's simply to aid and abet children in the obtaining of their education. Harold Belgium, how about you responding to this? You've got your mitts on a lot of things going here.
I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems to me someone said that the occasion that caused the death of God theologians to kind of crystallize their position was when the President Johnson declared war on poverty. And they said that this is so obviously the task of the people of God. The fact that the churches never declared war on poverty, in fact that the fact that they weren't even aware that there was poverty to speak of, and then suddenly the state spoke and said, this is intolerable, this is a moral outrage in a country like America. The fact that this moral decision was made in the political sphere rather than in the ecclesiastical sphere, is it true that this influenced them? If it didn't, it influenced me, I know. And I recall when Reverend Cosby was speaking in Minneapolis, not long after that happened, and I went up to him and asked what he thought of it. And he is, you know, has his curious Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C., and the members there have to agree to worship and to serve. Those are the two qualifications. And he said it is without, he had no question that when that God spoke, he used President Johnson to get something done. Well, if you're Republican, you get kind of goose-headed. And I think if you're a Democrat, you do too, because we don't get to talk that way in America. But this did kind of strike an openness, and I was going to say that if you look into the field of public welfare, the fact that the nation, the state, the national government, the states, the county, the townships, were forced to take hold of the whole, the fundamental charitable drive of society, and kind of the social justice of society, from the very colonial times on, would be an illustration, as well as the public schools, that the society had to seek some kind of political or state expression of a concern that had theretofore been considered a church responsibility. Would you agree that that would be an illustration?
Yeah.
Alongside of the public school?
Yeah. Well, no one really wants to take on this bald thesis here.
I want to raise the question whether it's a peculiarly American situation. The same problem agitating all of Europe.
Yeah.
And the story of the relationship of state and church in Europe in the same century showed that the state was gradually taking over the whole field of education. That was the French Revolution.
Yeah, right.
Was the claim of the church to control education. I'm not quite convinced that it was entirely Jeffersonian dilemma, but that he, with his wide acquaintance of Europe, realized that in America we were facing the same kind of development. The church could not, under the development of the Enlightenment, longer claim to the church. So you have to ask, I think, what's the alternative?
Well, I think you're perfectly right. I didn't intend to imply that this is this is uniquely an American problem. I think it's well, it's at least a Western problem. I suppose it's a part of what one means generally by talking about the secularization of modern Western civilization. Yeah.
Well, I agree that the public school has long been teaching religion that you described. I would hate to see this formally admitted and made official doctrine, because once we admit that the state is teaching religion, what do we do with heretics?
What do we do with
what? What do we do with heretics? What do we do with those people who refuse to believe in state religion? Who do not believe that all men are created equal. We deny that democracy is a good way of running the state.
We burn them at the stake.
Politics has been religionized in our time again. We've seen the rise of the mass persecuting state. Hitler, Stalinism, Maoism today, it's a religion. You're not allowed to think for yourself. You must read the little red book and find the truth. It informs all of life. And if you think wrongly in one point of doctrine, you are excluded from the church, which is the state, which is the people, and hence you deserve to be killed. I think the genius of America has been that we have our luck, that for which we give thanks, I don't know what, but the remarkable thing for which we must be grateful is that enough Americans have, as a matter of fact, shared fundamental value consensus that we have been able to tolerate any form of dissent. Sometimes our faith weakens a little bit, period and so on, but we come back to it all. We can tolerate any kind of heresy. If we make the democratic way of life an official religion, would we still be able, willing, to tolerate heresy?
It seems to me that you have to define what you mean by teaching democracy. And if you, in so doing, someone's going to have to define what the teaching will be, and these probably will be people in the federal government who are appointed rather than elected, and they will then have tremendous power of determining what people are going to learn. It's wonderful that the concept is fine to say we're going to teach democracy, but the practical application is a very thorny topic.
But to teach it as religion is something else again. Well, I reject William's proposal, and I don't know where to carry it really from here. But I think the proposal itself does help to set a kind of problem. And I guess I agree with what you said too, Paul, that one ought to be grateful that the kind of common ideology that Americans do share, be it religious or not, still is the sort of ideology that it is.
You were saying there's no non-sectarian teaching. By the same token, you can't be sure that the people who are teaching a subject really believe it. Adel Hertz was here, I think, 3 or 4 years ago from Copenhagen, and quite an outstanding teacher and lay theologian. She'd been decorated by the King of Denmark and so on. And in talking with her, she said, the big difficulty in teaching religion in the schools, which is required, of course, is the state church, that so many of the people teaching it are really atheists, and they do more harm than good to their students by the way they present the state-published material. She said that she felt that was one of the big problems of Danish education.
Yeah. That's to teach the Christian religion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask, answer to Paul's statement here, or to comment on it, can we afford to tolerate any kind of dissent in the name of religious freedom? For example, the current mushrooming of the black Muslim movement, can they be said to be contributing to the public welfare and unstretched the imagination? They're preaching outright racism. The reverse, of course, it's the dominance of the black over the white. Can we tolerate this? I was wondering if this isn't what Professor Williams had in mind when he says we have reached a crisis.
Well, I suppose that, that the only answer to that is that one can tolerate, at least one can tolerate black racism as long as he can tolerate white racism.
True.
true. And there is a lot. Is it openly preached? Is it advocated? Bear arms against our black brethren, as they say, they will just dominate.
But let Paul respond to this.
Well, the thing to do is what we have been committed to, this is allowing everyone freedom to do whatever he believes he ought to do. That's for the religious element, right? And what one ought to do. If a black Muslim feels, because of his total philosophy of life, his reading of history, whatever, what have you, that he must arm the black and teach them that they got to set up a separate state and that they are superior and so on, then I see, if a lot of people believe that this is necessary, I see trouble coming. Finally, you know, if it leads to armed conflict, I'm going to have to bear arms too. Not sure how or where, but our hope always is in this country, and it's been a hope pretty well realized so far, that the things that people believe they must do, that they ought to do, will finally not be things inconsistent with the common weal. Or that sufficiently few people will believe them, that the fabric of public order can be preserved. I didn't mean to imply that I agree with Professor Williams' proposals. I don't have an answer either. But I was wondering if his alarm wasn't he had due cause to be alarmed. I'm alarmed.
Well, I think we ought not to infringe. It's past 9 o'clock, as far as my watch is concerned. I think you, Don, Dr. Busted is scheduled for something else. I thank you all for letting me spout it off.
Now we can pick this up again, coffee or anytime.